State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz made it official this week. She is running for governor. She joins two others in their quest for the Democratic nomination. All the while, Governor Baker himself has not yet said if he'll seek re-election. If he does, it would be an unprecedented third term he'd be going for. Now, it might seem early, but this race is getting interesting, even all these months ahead, and there's a lot to unpack. So we want to do that. Here to help us sort it all through is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, and from the Boston Globe, Kimberly Atkins Storr. She's a senior opinion writer there. Anthony, Kimberly, welcome.
Hi there.
Great to have you both. So, Anthony, I know you talked with State Senator Chang Diaz. Tell us a little bit about her and the significance of her entering the race.
Right. So she jumped in yesterday, jumping into what's becoming a pretty diverse field of Democratic candidates. She is a former teacher. She's the daughter of a social worker and an immigrant who became the first Latino astronaut, which I think is an interesting detail about her backstory. She was the first Latina elected to the state Senate. She's the only woman of color currently serving in the Senate, where she's garnered a reputation as something of a progressive. She was one of the chief sponsors of education reform legislation that sought to make school funding fairer for low-income and special ed students. She was also a co-sponsor of criminal justice reform. And yesterday, she traveled from Springfield to Worcester and then to Jamaica Plain to kick off her candidacy. And it was a bit of a trip that highlighted working people to make the points that she wanted to make, a kind of working people's tour of Massachusetts, if you will. For example, when I caught up with her, it was in Worcester. She met with nurses at St. Vincent Hospital who have been on strike since March over staffing levels. And then on to Jamaica Plain to make her announcement that she was jumping in the race for governor.
So, Kimberly, she is clearly a progressive candidate. We're talking about the Democratic primary here because no one yet knows for sure what Governor Baker is going to do. Is this the year or the years, given that their election isn't until next year, of the progressive in this governor's race?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, we know that governor's races in Massachusetts are always so different from other statewide races. So while last year the big U.S. Senate contest between Joe Kennedy and Ed Markey really turned on Ed Markey fortifying his progressive bona fides, which helped him to win, people in Massachusetts like to elect a divided government in the state. I mean, in my lifetime, there's only been two Democratic governors in the state of Massachusetts. So being the most progressive Democrat isn't necessarily going to win you the primary, let alone win you the final seat. So we'll have to see who else jumps in. I'm keeping my eye on, really, to see if Maura Healey jumps in, which will really shake up the race in terms of both fundraising and also just this sort of national profile she's built, as opposed to the very local, state-focused approach that Sonia Chang Diaz is taking.
I do want to pick up on Maura Healey in just a second. Before I do it, one other sort of this general question about where we are, Anthony. Multiple Democrats in the race. It's June of 2021. I almost had to check my calendar because times just to have no meaning anymore. And the race isn't really, you know, the election's not till next year. So is this early for this many people to be jumping in? And if so, why?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think it would be early if we knew what the field was going to look like. I mean, Kimberly's right. The big question is, Maura Healey going to get in? We don't know if Charlie Baker is going to get in. So the race is still taking shape. But here's the thing. If you're relatively unknown across the state, like Sonia Chang Diaz and like Ben Downing and like Danielle Allen, the three Democrats who have jumped in, if you're relatively well-known, strategists are going to tell you that you need to jump in early for a variety of reasons. So here's Democratic political strategist Marianne Marsh, who I spoke to yesterday.
Well, I think unless your name is Charlie Baker or Maura Healey, you have to get in early. You need the time to build up your name recognition, to build an organization, to raise money, to be competitive in a primary, let alone a general election if you get nominated. So for the people in the race now, they all need to be in the race now.
Yeah, and I think, Tiziana, her point about Charlie Baker and Maura Healey, if you're not one of those two, you really need to get in early. So here we are. The race is underway.
Okay, so Kimberly, somebody is Maura Healey. You talked about whether or not she's going to get in. And what is the AG likely looking at? And does Sonia Chang Diaz entering the race change her calculus at all? What do you think her calculus is? She's been really good at not answering those questions when asked of late.
Yes, she and most people in Massachusetts, where folks like Anthony and me, it's our job literally to ask them what office they're going to run for next. It remains to be seen. I mean, one thing that Maura Healey would have jumping in whenever she at this point anyway is a big fundraising advantage. She also has name recognition, and she also has, as I talked about before, this sort of national reputation as somebody who really went after Donald Trump and sued him countless times in his administration over those policies. So that's really how she's burnished her name while in office. It's up to if that's the office she wants to seek and run for, if she sees the governorship as the logical next step or something else. And I think it also will depend on what Charlie Baker will do. I mean, if he seems ready to run for re-election, he's still fairly popular there in the state, it may be worth saving that money and that time and looking at another office down the road. But it's still so many unknowns at play right now. And I agree with Anthony, for everyone else in this race, it's important for them to get in early, whereas I think both Maura Healey and Charlie Baker have a little time to think about this.
So, Anthony, let's stay on Maura Healey. Kimberly just talked about sort of her track record, for example, suing President Trump. We know she's fought Purdue Pharma, but there are some in Democratic circles who don't think she's progressive enough, call her out on her commitment to racial justice, police reform. Is she exposed on the left in this race?
Well, I mean, I think if she did jump in, she would certainly have to answer questions from these candidates who perhaps want to run in the progressive lane and will do everything they can to sort of hold on to that lane. So for sure, she's going to have to answer those questions. I think in general, you know, when you've been an office holder and you have a record, especially as a prosecutor and an attorney general like Maura Healey, it's natural that you're going to be exposed to those questions on the left. But as Kimberly mentioned, she also has a pretty strong record as running, suing the Trump administration and really staking out that territory as, a pretty well-established liberal, if not progressive, Democrat. So I think she'd do okay making that case, even if she did have to take some fire on those issues.
Okay, so you've both made it clear that the big question right now is, will Charlie Baker run? We know, we've covered here on Radio Boston a lot over the last few months, the disgruntled nature of the Republican Party in the Commonwealth and the fact that the Republican base don't necessarily hold for him, but we also know how popular he is in general and among Democrats. I'm just going to ask you, both of you, do you think he's going to run again?
I'm
Anthony,
laughing because
just,
yeah, Kimberly, you know, I'll go out on a limb. I think he's going to run, but I don't say that with any kind of insider knowledge. I don't say that because I've spoken sources close to Baker say. I just have a gut feeling that I can't imagine what else Charlie Baker would do, frankly. And he's got a strong record. He's got a pile of money. He can raise more money in an instant. And, yeah, I think he's going to run, but it's just a gut feeling that I have.
What about you, Kimberly?
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, in the Trumpified GOP world, there aren't a lot of places for the Charlie Bakers to go if they want to stay in politics. And it seems that the best job he could possibly run for is the one that he already has.
And can he win?
I think that's true. I mean, go ahead.
No, jump in. I'm interested. Go.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there's rumors that, you know, could he even run for president, for example, as a sort of sane, moderate Republican who could attract independents. But I just don't see Charlie Baker doing that. I just don't see that he has that appetite for that kind of thing. I can't imagine him wanting to go through the kind of gauntlet of New Hampshire and Iowa primaries in South Carolina. He just hasn't been that kind of politician. He's been focused on the details of governing, and he does it, you know, pretty well. And I think that's where his comfort level is.
All right, so I'm going to enlist both of your help now because I recognize, I find this stuff fascinating, right? We're a year and a half out, but I think it's riveting. This is a huge race, it seems to me, this next race for governor in the Commonwealth. But a lot of people don't pay attention yet. And I want to know, just like when I work with Check the Score with Chris Siderick and we help non-sports fans, you know, learn how to follow sports, who help people figure out what's fun to follow and interesting to follow right now as this race emerges. And Kimberly, you chuckled first, so you get to go first.
Well, there are just such interesting people who are already in the mix. I mean, you have Danielle Allen, who's sort of coming, it seems, almost out of nowhere to blaze this trail. You have Sonia Cheng Diaz, who's been around for a long time. She was there when I covered the State House, I won't say how many years ago, and has been working to burnish her credentials and working her way, focusing on that progressive agenda. It's just going to be a fun race. It's going to take a long time because people have a lot of money to raise. They have their name recognition to boost up. And look, the Massachusetts gubernatorial race is a big one. Just think about how many presidential campaigns have come from Massachusetts gubernatorial races and other things. This is a big deal, not just on the local stage, but on the national one. So the fact that it's getting started so early is not really surprising to me. Folks here are going to be watching it here in Washington, D.C., where I am. It's a big deal. I think it's going to be naturally fun to watch anyway, so I don't think there's any particular thing that we need to point out. I just think that anybody interested in politics is going to, you know, learn a lot watching this race.
Yeah. And Anthony, will that be good for the Commonwealth? You know, I guess my bias is that a hotly contested election is good for democracy. Do you see something unfolding here that is good for the issues, is good for combing out what needs to happen in the Commonwealth post-pandemic? Will this bring things to light that we need to make decisions on?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, I obviously I'm biased in answering this question because I care about this stuff passionately. It's what I do. But look, there's a big moment possibly coming for Massachusetts. I mean, there's this big showdown for governor, along with this fight for the soul and the identity of the Massachusetts Republican Party. There's possibly going to be an open seat for attorney general if Maura Healey decides to run for governor. For state treasurer, there's an historic election for mayor of Boston, which will result in the first mayor who is not a white man in more than 200 years. I mean, so all this is a sign of the times, of a reevaluation, of coming to terms with racial inequality. And the result is a potential sea change in the politics around here. And I think it's extremely exciting and important. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned. There's a lot to hold on to here and to take a measure of.
Well, you guys have got my pulse racing. I love this stuff, and this is a great start. I'm looking forward to talking to you more as we go along. We just heard Anthony Brooks, WBUR senior political reporter, and also Kimberly Atkins-Store, a senior opinion writer at the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you for helping us kick it off today.
Thanks.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hannah.